Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to issue 142 of Marvelicious Toys. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And this is Justin.
And when you're listening to this, do you know where your podcast host is?
Not me, and not Justin. Let's just make that clear.
Justin, have you completely ruled out taking a couple days off work and sitting with me in the theater for 27 hours?
If the question is, do you know where Justin will be when some people are listening to this, probably your best answer is sleeping, because I am not going to subject myself to 27 hours of what I can only imagine is going to be one interesting smelling theater after a while.
I am going to be taking the trucker shower tomorrow morning, but yes, I am in Kansas, where I and one of our editors, Alex, are sitting through the entire 27-28 hour marathon. Follow me on Twitter at @TheArnieC, A-R-N-I-E-C, for status updates to see, am I going to stay awake for the whole time? Am I regretting life decisions? Am I oozing popcorn juice out of my pores? And how bad does that theater smell? Follow me on Twitter, and we'll come back out in our next show and sum up my survival there, but...
and see if we still have a show anymore, because Arnie may just be done with Marvel altogether after this.
Is it being, like, locked in my parents' closet with a pack of cigs?
Yes. Yep.
This is reparative therapy.
He'll probably never look at popcorn the same way again.
Well, I mean, I'm already so deep in at this point with potato chip Doritos and Subway again got the fast food tie. And it's kind of cool, though. You get these little block paper figures, and they're comic-based. There's a MODOK and a Red Skull. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And Subway's more healthy than anything I'm eating at this movie theater right now.
Very true.
Very true, yes.
But we have a lot to talk about with Avengers. That's why we're doing a bonus episode this week, because we are so excited for Age of Ultron. We're going to be reviewing some Avengers figures that are hitting stores now in...
The Spectacular Store Report!
Well, with Avengers coming out tonight, it is time to take a look at our third wave of Marvel Legends this year. They're hitting hard and fast, and it's going to be an expensive year, Hasbro.
Whew. It's a lot of Avenger stuff out there, but it's a lot of Legend stuff out there. You know, last time I had the show with Jeff, we were talking about how much stuff is just out there and available right now. There's three current waves that are, it seems like, are still all currently shipping right now. Folks, we are in the heyday of Marvel Legends right now.
Do you think this beats the toy biz days? I mean,
as far as sheer quantity, yes.
I know. It seems like we always pick up a bunch of toy biz. I keep hoping the end is in sight.
Yeah, I'm not here to start an argument over quality of toy biz versus Hasbro, because we could do that all day long. But as far as pure amount of figures out there and available at one time, this far surpasses anything from the toy biz days.
Yeah, and if you look at it, the Spider-Man wave had six figures. The Odin wave had seven figures. This wave has six figures. And then the Toys R Us exclusive three-pack had three figures. So that's 22 Legends figures available readily on shelves right now. Not even counting that overseas Legends five-pack, which I do have in my possession now.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
You're welcome if I cooled it.
It is now no longer a European Disney Store exclusive. It is everywhere. You can find them on the street corners.
And other Legends packs that are being teased. The Guardians of the Galaxy Legends 5-pack coming down the pike.
Holy cow, yeah. With some repaints and retools and comic versions finishing off that team. Maybe even doubling up the team for some of us who already have a comic Drax and a comic Star-Lord and a comic Rocket.
So that's 32 Legends.
We're not even halfway through the year yet. We haven't even hit the first official Marvel movie of the year yet.
We have not yet begun to Legend.
But you know what's really cool? You're not getting any Avengers figures other than the 5 POAs, right?
Well, and these.
And these. So you're getting ultra cool figures, like super cool, and you're getting a lot of them. You're just not getting the little tiny ones. So, I mean, look at it in a positive way.
I'm very positive about it. I feel bad for the collectors who, like, when I was in college, you can't keep up sometimes.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying, is I'm very excited of the wealth of figures. And when I was a college-age collector or a young adult, underpaid professional collector, had to choose which figures I was getting on this paycheck, then there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah, we have to remember that every time a new huge movie comes out, it creates a whole new crop of collectors. Now, whether they stick around or not and continue to collect, it doesn't really matter, because right now the stores are filled with these products. And as soon as, you know, these new collectors get to that Arnie level of hype for a movie, they're gonna find themselves in a Target or a Walmart, and they're gonna be like, holy cow, look at that.
I'm sorry, did you say that Arnie level of hype?
Yeah, well, am I wrong?
I may have to walk out on you like Robert Downey Jr. on a Brit.
I do want to point out, Justin, I don't know if you've picked up on it, but I think you do, because I think you know Arnie pretty well by now, that we are in full on, all hands on deck, high alert code Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, you were frantically buying up Doritos bags last time we spoke, so I got a little hint as to where we were at.
Oh, no, Justin. I believe we nearly have a complete set, although Arnie has been tweeting to Doritos to verify.
Yeah, my bigger point being is that it's a good time to be a collector, and it's a good time to start being a collector now, too, because product is aplenty out there. There might be a few figures here and there that have become hard to find, but if I was just starting out now and I walked through that aisle, I would be excited at the sheer volume of choice there is right now as far as cool-looking action figures.
Well, let's take a look at the next wave. Now, is this Legends Wave 3, our sponsor Dorkside Toys, just lists this as Thanos Wave. But it is the third wave of the year. I've seen it referred to, though, as Avengers Wave 2, coming off the All-Father Wave.
Yeah, and this one's more Avengery than that wave. It's actually the first time in the Avengers Wave this year that we're getting movie-based characters rather than just a Thor. You know, a comic Thor last time around, that was enough to make it Avengers, I guess.
It's about half and half, and then we'll discuss which way the Build-A-Figure swings, but they are numbered in order. I do want to point out something about the packaging. Again, we have a doubled up figure. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5.
Yeah, at least it's not a swap out. They're both available at the same time.
And then three of the figures are Avengers figures. And on top of the box, they have the A logo. And on the front, it says Avengers Age of Ultron. The comic-based ones have nothing on top and just say Marvel. So easy way to differentiate which is and isn't from the movie. Yet they all come with the Thanos Build-A-Figure, so...
Yeah, and they're all in a red-based package this time around. Just like Spider-Man. They kind of look like the Spider-Man Legends on the pegs at the moment, too.
They do. You're absolutely right. And like the Guardians one stood out because they were more of like a purpley color. But the red is very Spider-Man. I wish they'd get their color palette like different.
Yeah, they keep switching it up. One thing while we all are on the packages, we don't spend a lot of time talking about them because they are pretty much all the same. It seems this time around, they switched up the artwork style on the sides. And I gotta say, I'm not impressed with the style.
You know what? I like some of it.
Maybe it's the Avengers movie ones I'm not digging, because the comic ones seem to be cool and a little bit more detailed.
I kind of liked the Iron Man one. It reminded me of like a newspaper strip or something. I don't know. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks less like a drawing and more like a Photoshop filter applied to a photograph.
Yeah, they're very Instagram.
Yeah.
That's what they look like, is somebody's Instagram feed.
Yep.
I don't know. I think the Hulk, definitely. The Iron Man and Cap look drawn to me, and I like the style that they're drawn in. But you're right. Looking at them, I was just looking at the side, but not comparing the style. I do prefer the comic-based ones, and I love that they made Spider-Woman upside down. That was just kind of a nice touch.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That is nice. I do like that.
One thing I've noticed on all of Hasbro's figures this year, I think it's even over in Star Wars, is this new, I can't even read it, but it looks like it might be Spanish or Italian on the bottom. You see what I'm saying there? It's like a I slash through and then, I don't know.
On the bottom?
Yeah, on the bottom of the package.
This is something that's kind of been confusing me this whole time. I've got my Odin package right here, and it has the same thing. And because I've been ordering from Dorkside Toys, and I don't know how all of it worked, I didn't bring it up on the previous reviews because I hadn't seen these at retail initially. But these are like trilingual or quadlingual cards.
Yeah, it's almost as if we're getting the same package that's available worldwide for the most part.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the case. And they're, again, saving money by not reprinting. So we have Misa and Guard, Adversentia, Ascensio.
In Metro is a Brazilian company.
Oh.
So it's Portuguese on the bottom.
So we have Portuguese, French, Spanish, and English. And I, again, wasn't sure if this is because we're ordering by the case and this is direct distribution. Were we getting international cards? But no, these are the exact same cards that I'm seeing at retail. So I think they're just cutting costs and not having different international cards. It would be like, imagine if in the 80s and 70s, all Star Wars figures were tri-logo.
Right. But there is a slight difference here, because when you say tri-logo or multilingual, what I usually think of is the different languages all over the package. But what they've done here is actually pretty nice. They've kept the multilingual stuff mostly to the bottom and the back. The front of all these packages is pretty straightforward and logo and information driven. The only thing that really ends up getting translated is the age range for the proper, you know, ages 4 and up or whatever.
Well, on like the Fierce Fighters 2-pack, it's also translated 4 times.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right on that one. But it's not overly done. You know, they're not translating Marvel and Legends and Infinite Series or none of that stuff. It's just straight up those logos and marks get to be what they are.
Well, looking inside the package, these are numbered figures, thanks to the back of the box, so we can go through them. And coming with Thanos' right leg is the Iron Man Mark 43. And he comes with a swap-out open mask Tony Stark head, which I don't think we've had since the Iron Man 2 sunglasses days, have we?
Yeah, and even at that, this is different. You know, that was sunglasses head, full hair and everything. This is an open mask. This is something new for this line, which is kind of cool. I'm so used to Hot Toys, though. I was trying to take that mask off and put it on in place, you know, like it might be magnetic. No such luck.
No, it's stuck on there. That's just the way it is.
You've been buying too many Hot Toys.
Ouch.
Yeah, I bet you if I tried hard enough, I could peel that thing off, but it wouldn't be going back on the right way. So we'll just leave it as is. But I do like the detail up there that since his mask is up, the lights in his eyes are no longer on. It's just dark and black in there, as opposed to his masthead that has the blue glow coming out of the eyes.
Ooh, that's neat. I like the masked head. Arnie, does yours have a paint error?
Well, I'm going to ask Justin that. Justin, does your unmasked face look kind of like Jubilee from the old Marvel Universe series?
a little Marty Feldman-ish.
Like his eyes are starting to roll back into his head, and yeah, Marty Feldman, Igor, I can see that.
It's hard to see unless you have some direct light, because there's shadow from his mask cast right about where his eyes fall. So it's hard to really kind of focus on it. But I didn't really notice it until I was taking close-up pictures of it. But yeah, he's got some wonky-looking eyes.
I was referring to his Fu Manchu.
No, I think that's entirely intentional.
But it looks like they molded it and just didn't paint it all the way around.
He's supposed to have a gap between his mustache and his goatee.
I understand, but look around his mouth. They molded it. They just didn't paint it all the way around. That's why I thought you had an error.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is your mustache completely painted, Justin?
No, there's a gap, but I can kind of see. Are you talking about like on his right side cheek?
Yeah,
there's kind of like a smile line from his nose down to his chin.
Yeah, that kind of crop. But then it's like a ridge where to the right of the smile line, there's a second ridge between the mustache and goatee and the chin where it's raised.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Okay, good. So I don't need to buy another one. It's just a crappy head, and Yay! We will leave him masked down.
However, it's a nice touch to an otherwise straight-up repainted figure, which, hey, I'm not going to ding them over repainting a figure because that's what apparently Tony did, because he just repainted the Mark 42 into these colors. So, you know, no reason to get too upset about that.
Agreed, and I like the color scheme here. You know, I like the Mark 43 a lot better than the Mark 42. I find it very amusing to me that the CGI programmers just decided to do a paint inversion, but the colors they used here, this really stands out when put next to the comic-based figures. It's a more muted red. It just does not fit next to, say, Batroc the Leaper or something. You know, this movie style, I think it works because when this movie comes out and makes $1 billion, people are going to want the movie-based figure, and this stands apart from the comic-based ones.
Definitely.
You know what the nice thing they did on this is he has the little shoulder caps. I don't know what these are called, but they made him unattached so you can move his arms almost all the way up because of the way those are. And they don't look too funky.
Are yours hinged at all, or are they just kind of glued in there as a separate piece?
They're just kind of glued in there as a separate piece. Is that okay. What yours are?
Yeah, because one of mine is kind of wonky, like from the way he was in the package with his arm up. So one of his shoulder pads is sitting a little too high on his joint there.
Honestly, because it's just like softly glued, you could probably put a rubber band around his shoulders and mold it down with a little bit.
Yep. Or even put it in boiling water for a few seconds and it'll take its shape.
Mm-hmm. But I like that you can move his arms up, because that's one of the frustrating things about action figures is when they put all this accoutrement on and he can't lift his arms up.
Well, speaking of that, what I was a little frustrated with is I couldn't get him in the stop in the name of love pose where he has his open hand up and pointed at you, because the back of his glove stops that articulation from going too far back.
Yeah, that's what was stopping it, isn't it?
I mean, the articulation's there. You can make him go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can kind of creeper claw at you, but the other way gets stopped.
You know what? It's a soft plastic. If you want to bend it, you can bend it like Beckham and get that pose. It looks like it's actually intended to have some give to it.
Definitely.
So I was able to pull off that pose, if not at a full 90-degree wrist angle, at a good 60-degree wrist angle.
It's all about the degrees of the wrist angle and when it comes to movie figures.
The paint on this, outside of the unmasked head, though, is so nice. So detailed with the silver among the gold and with the red. And the red's got like this glittery to it where if you put it in the light, you can almost see flecks of glitter, and the lines on it are nice and clean, except for that face.
It's easier to paint a larger item, though.
Yeah, but they didn't prove that last year.
No, that's true.
You're right, though, but this is mostly cast in a shimmery red plastic with the gold and silver paint on it, and that two-tone paint really makes it look nice and detailed. Whereas, even though I don't think you like it as much and you've said it as much, but I do like the Mark 42. I think it stands out in a, you know, otherwise Hall of Armor that's mostly red on gold.
Have you seen the House Party Protocol?
Yeah. But I'm saying on screen, when we see Iron Man, he's usually in what? Red and gold. So that was a nice change for him. But, you know, going back to this, it almost seems more detailed this way. That gold being all over the place on the last version kind of ate up the details.
I agree, because outside of just aesthetics for that design or attachment to that design, that figure didn't feel as high-end as this one does, and it's all about the way the paints are selling it.
Well, all in all, I'm pretty impressed with the repainted figure on this one.
I agree. I definitely recommend Iron Man and throw that head away.
There might be some good ones out there.
Number two, coming with Thanos' right arm, we have a Hulk. I'm never going to get tired of saying that.
We have a Hulk. Every store I go into has a couple hundred Hulk.
Now, this is the figure we saw last year at New York Comic Con, the first Avengers figure we saw, and we started to really overanalyze his yoga pants.
Yes, because he had some Lululemon yoga pants on, and here he has them again. I believe that they are like Spanx and holding in all the Hulk chub.
My question is obviously looking at these guys kind of have more of a uniform going on now, right? He's got a little Avengers A on his hips, on his thighs or whatever. My question is, does Bruce Banner wear these pants around in case he turns into the Hulk? Or does he keep them around for when he does turn into the Hulk and he changes real quick?
Thank you. I mean, is he wearing these under his pants and they just are super stretchy and Tony Stark has engineered them so when he grows into the Hulk, they stretch with him, which is why they look like yoga pants? Or, yeah, what's going on? Is Hulk conscious enough where he can be like, me put on my stretchy pants?
I'm guessing we'll see in the movie that these are just the pants he wears. I mean, we've seen in previous movies, he'd buy specifically purple sweatpants so that when he hulks out, there's no Hulk Wang. So we all appreciate that as moviegoers, I think, unless you're watching the porn parody, in which case you want the other. But yes, he's got these stretchy pants. Perhaps they're made of unstable molecules.
Perhaps.
If they don't answer this in the movie, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Good to know what your checklist is for tomorrow. But this figure, I mean, let's just get this out of the way. We say it every time, not proper scale. Although I feel like they got close. I think, though, when we see the movie, Hulk, he hunches. He slouches a little bit. I've noticed that in the trailers. But I feel we're in a weird area where the Marvel Select one might be too big for a legend. But this legend is definitely too big for, say, a universe figure.
Right. But yeah, and I feel like this one is still too small to be in with the rest of the legends.
That said, I mean, Iron Man does only come up to about his pec.
His nipples.
Yep.
So it's close. It's better than they've done, I think, in the past.
Well, that's debatable, because I think this is mostly the previous Avengers Hulk, you know, as far as the torso goes. New legs, obviously, but I don't think they would give him a whole bunch more height just based on legs. But it is a little small, but at the same time,
look at him
in the package. He couldn't get any more in the package. He'd have to like come in a box where he's bent over and hunched up to get any bigger.
Hey, I'd be fine with him as the Build-A-Figure.
Huh?
A properly scaled Hulk Build-A-Figure. But you're right. When I think about that scene at the end of Avengers when he grabs an Iron Man and Iron Man's falling and he's under one arm, yeah, he's way too tiny here for that.
Yep.
I was just going to ask you guys if you thought Hulk should be the Build-A-Figure so that he would be proper scale, but you answered that, because I always imagine he'd be as big as like what the parts are for Thanos that we're seeing.
Yeah, I think that would have been the way to go, is give us a really sizable, to scale Hulk Build-A-Figure. Maybe they're afraid people would complain of having such a movie figure as the Build-A-Figure, but then again, they're doing it with Hulk Buster, so.
Right, and maybe this is kind of a make good for that last round of Avengers Hulk figures, because I know a lot of people had a hard time finding that one this time around. I think ultimately Hulk is going to be a peg warmer, because there's a lot of them out there. But you know what? Not to jump ahead, but this Hulk is taller than the Build-A-Figure Thanos in this wave. So as far as Build-A-Figures go, he should have been the one that you put together. Now, I don't have my original Hulk from the last movie in front of me, but a lot of this feels reused. But at the same time, it might not be. Like, now he has two fists. I remember that last time his left hand was somewhat open and in a claw.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a little less definition in his muscles this time.
And definitely new legs with the sculpting of his bicycle shorts.
Definitely. You know, maybe the same lower leg. Like, probably could have reused the knees, calves, and feet.
The knees are even textured, but the calves and feet, yeah.
Oh, you're right. They do have a little bit of a pant thing going on there. So yeah, there's enough newness here that it doesn't feel like a repaint, because I can't be positive what is repainted. The head's definitely new. This is more Ruffalo-ish this time around.
Yeah, and it's very olive, a nice movie green color. And I like the facial expression they gave him. You know, it's not the roar. It's not the lumbering idiot face. It's the nice gnash teeth, angry, I'm about to smash.
That's the Hulk face I always see, though. I guess the roaring is common, but I think that's a very typical Hulk face.
You can get him in the old Ferrigno pose.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. On mine, in certain lights, his torso and chest seem to be a different color green than the rest of the plastic. His arms, his head, and his feet all seem to be more healthy of a green.
Yeah, it's slightly paler.
Yeah.
It's just they different plastics, they molded it, and it feels like a different plastic. It's a harder plastic for the torso. And
I think that's just the mechanics of it.
And the pants, too. I mean, if you look at his butt, it's slightly lighter than his leg.
Oh, yeah. One complaint I'm going to have, and I feel like saying this, it's almost like deja vu. I almost remember us saying this last time.
It's been 3 years. Go ahead.
He looks awesome when you have his arms, you know, kind of held up like in a punch mode or getting ready to raise him above his head. But if you try to, if you neutralize his pose and try to put his arms down at the side, you get a really weird joint in his elbow.
I don't know that I've ever seen Hulk stand at attention though. So
no, it's not a huge deal, but it's weird. Look, I'd rather have them sculpt it so it looks better with his arms ready to punch than at ease. But even so, it looks weird if like you have his arm fully extended like he is in mid-punch.
But I mean, beyond that, it's a nice likeness. It's a good figure. I feel like every complaint we've done is nitpick it. I think we should say some positive things. I mean, it's got a lot of articulation. You can pose him a lot of different ways. You can recreate that big leap that they're doing in the trailer with his fists out and the teeth gnashed and everything. The only thing you can't do is put him palm to palm with Widow.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, it's a great toy and a great figure. So I'm not, like you said, we're nitpicking it because that's what we do. But at the same time, I'm very happy to have a nice Avengers movie Hulk already.
Yeah, I think it's the best movie Hulk we've gotten. I mean, he's definitely Age of Ultron too, because he's wearing
yoga pants.
Yeah, the Stark brand patented pants. But it's a pretty good figure. Now, the third and final movie figure, this time with Thanos' other leg. I think I said the other one was Thanos' right leg. Now I'm looking at them next to each other. I was wrong. Here we have Captain America. And he apparently has a point to make.
Yeah. He's pointing at something.
He is, or else he's going to give somebody an exam.
My first thoughts on this were straight up repaint of Winter Soldier Cap in his all blue gear.
That's not right, though.
Nope.
Because even I can tell that star is different.
Yes, indeed. His upper torso is definitely new. And that might be it.
Oh, yeah, it's got the red things around the star. And his red stripes and white stripes are a different shape. And he's got the white armbands that he didn't have before with the red just above that.
But that could all be repaint. The re-sculpt is in the shape of the star.
Yes, it's a different star than normal. He's yep. Still got that strong chin, though. I'm sorry, that finger's just going to get broken off.
Well, luckily he comes with two full sets of hands. You can have both his hands as fists, one doing kind of a karate chop and one with the pointer.
I think it's because Captain America, while he's very nice about it, he's kind of bossy.
But he's also very polite. He was brought up in an era where manners were made, and he knows it's not polite to point.
Where men were men and gals were dames.
Yes.
And he says things like hot jazz and skinny eyebrows.
But yeah, there are other hands. Unless he has a specific pointing scene in tomorrow's movie, I think that hand just goes away. It's the nose picker.
It is. Now, I don't remember if the Winter Soldier cap came with extra hands or not, but if he did, I don't have him displayed with the finger pointer.
Would you display this one with the finger pointer?
No, that was the first thing that came off. I gave him both fists. Since he doesn't come with any weapons outside of his shield, you know, there's no reason to have any other hands. My first thought would be that the shield that he comes with here is a repurposed and repainted one from earlier, but I'm holding three different current Captain Americas here in my hand, one being from that three-pack from Target, and it's not that one. It's bigger than that shield, even though the inside looks similar as far as sculpting goes. Then I also have my Winter Soldier Captain America here. And I don't know if it's just the paint difference that makes the star look smaller on the all blue and silver shield. But to my eye, I think these are different sculpts on the front. On the newer one, the star looks bigger.
Wow. Did they all have the rivets in the tips of the star?
Yeah, they both do. But to my eye, it looks bigger on this new one. So yeah, that we might have yet another new shield here, which is would be a neat little touch.
Were they all molded the same on the inside with the straps inlaid?
The Winter Soldier one and this one are both with the straps that are the separate pieces of plastic that are, you know, glued in. The previous cap from that three pack has the peg and C-hook version. So I don't count that one as a contender. It's close enough that I can't one way or another say for sure this is a new shield or not.
As for the figure himself, I've got a couple of minor paint issues. I mean, he's cast in blue, and so the white, it doesn't feel like it got good coverage in the areas. It's never white. It's blight.
They need to use a primer and then lay down the color when they cast the figures in a dark color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get a little bit of bleedage, even on the red, too. The red over the blue in that same area.
Yeah, it's kind of purple.
Yeah.
So, ding on that one. He also comes with the unmasked head, and I feel like they just reused a previous head and did not attempt to make a Chris Evans head at all. This feels like a comic Steve Rogers head, not a Chris Evans head.
I feel like we had the same conversation last time we saw this head, but it's a little more Chris Evans-y than the three-pack cap I'm holding on to here. It's the blondness. Like, he doesn't feel this blonde on screen. I know they tried to make it a little bit of a dirty blonde with a little bit of a wash in there. But to me, when I think Captain America, I think more brown, light brown hair.
He does have brown hair. He doesn't have blonde hair. He had blonde hair in the comics.
But in the movies, they keep making these movie figures with his hair blonde. Like, even on the 3 3/4 inch figures from the last movie. I think this is the same head that came with the Winter Soldier version. And you know what? I'm looking up a picture since I didn't have all the pieces. The Winter Soldier Captain America came with all these same accessories. Two fists, a pointing finger, a karate chop hand, and this head.
Yeah, and that's why it's so familiar. This isn't what I was thinking of, which was the Captain America and the S.H.I.E.L.D. outfit head. That was more scrunch-jawed.
Yes.
And because we've had this figure before, we've kind of gone through the articulation. The arms have one of those, you know, snap into place shoulder joints. So it's going to stay, but it only has certain angles at which it can pose. But it's got quite a bit going on for a figure that, like you say, he has his shield. My only disappointment is he can't throw the shield. He can't hold the shield in any kind of throwing position. It's got to be up his arm.
Yep. It doesn't have releasable straps, so you can put it around his shoulders and make it sit on his back like previous versions. I don't think you're going to get that wrist size one all the way up his arm.
No, not at all. Not without breaking it.
You know what? I'm just noticing now, this is the third and final Avengers movie figure we're reviewing. And out of all three of them, two of them have Avengers logos on their outfit. How come Tony doesn't have to wear the company uniform?
Well, he changes suits like he changes underwear for one thing.
He's like Cher.
He should still have to wear the company emblem like everybody else.
And my understanding is he designed these outfits, so maybe he just makes the others do it?
Right, he's the manager. He doesn't have to follow the employee rules.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he tells them something off, not in the movie, but off air, like, yes, it would damage the structural integrity of the iron. Yeah. It's not that he just doesn't want to wear it.
Well, if Hulk's pants aren't explained and Marjorie gets upset, I'm going to be upset if we don't get a reasoning why Tony doesn't have to wear the Avengers logo while everybody else does.
I'm pretty sure we will not get that explanation.
Whole movie's ruined for me.
So now we move on to the comic-based figures, and this comes with Thanos' torso and shoulder pads. And what shoulder pads they are.
No, that's a dicky.
An outer dicky?
Yeah. It's just he's not wearing the cardigan over it, but that's a dicky.
And this figure is one who I never wanted. I know they showed, and I'm like, well, that's not a character to get excited about. Until we saw Captain America the Winter Soldier when he became badass.
Hey, you know what? I went to mind as a figure of that guy. But this is the old school comic, Batroc the Leaper. Which, all right, fine. There's going to be fans who want this figure, and I'm not upset that we got him because this is a make good. This is one that they showed 2 years ago at Comic-Con, and that wave and some of those figures kind of disappeared. So this is them getting a figure out that they had previously showed. So, okay. And guess what? It ties into Captain America somewhat, so it makes some sense. I'm okay with that. But the figure itself, yay, yay, yay.
First of all, I mean, we're just so past the age of making fun of the French with their mustachios, aren't we?
That might be the coolest part of this figure.
Is he Snidely Whiplash? It's like evil Wolverine.
Oh, it's sculpted on there, baby. It is. It's not just a painted Snidely Whiplash. It's out there. You can twirl it if you want.
Yeah, it looks like Wolverine. Like Wolverine and Batman had an evil baby.
It's like if Vincent Price went dressed as Wolverine to a costume party.
And this is the guy that Captain America fought?
Repeatedly.
Batroc?
And got kicked?
I'm going to have to say that the French-African guy was way more scarier than Snidely here.
And the outfit, wooza.
Is that the Phantom's outfit?
Actually, I think it is. Good call, baby doll.
It's very golden age. It's of a time when they would just draw the same body and then start coloring in different parts. It's like, okay, well, his boots and gloves will be gold along with his briefs, you know?
But yet, if you look at the comic art, I mean, they did it right. This is good likeness. This is a sculpted on mustachio or glued on. They've got the good facial expression, the weirdly winged mask, and the paint app is solid, especially with all the black lines. They had so many chances to screw it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's lines around his boots, around his waist, around his upper gloves, going up his chest. You know, this is, you know, gold paint over a darker purple that doesn't seem to be bleeding through as badly as you might expect. It's pretty solidly done. It's just kind of a goofy figure to be putting in a movie wave.
Yeah, except that he was in that last Cap movie. I think that's the only reason we got him. Because I remember when that movie came out, everybody's like, nobody ever expected Batroc the Leaper to make it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And there he was. Still, unless you're building a Thanos or the world's biggest Batroc fan, I think this figure could probably be skipped.
Yeah, he's a cool purple, though. I'll say that. I enjoy his purple more than I liked Machine Man's purple.
But then we move on to two cooler figures, yet I question their names. We're discussing the Fierce Fighters.
That's like something I'd make up with the neighborhood kids when I'm like 8.
I mean, I realize they're trying not to go sexist or something, so not call them the Femme Force or whatever, but Fierce Fighters, really? That's the... I mean, admittedly, they're in an unenviable position where they have to brainstorm a singular name for Spider-Woman and Hellcat. Yes, I wouldn't want to have that job and need to be paid for it.
What about just calling them the Spider-Cat Girls or something? I don't know.
Well, that's a step away from the Pussycat Dolls.
It is, yeah.
But despite sharing a number, sharing a name, Hellcat comes with Thanos' arm and head, and Spider-Woman
comes with another arm and head. You only need to get one of these to complete Thanos.
Ah.
And there's no variant. It's not like the All-Father where one comes with one type of head and all that. It's the exact same head and arm.
So the first figure we get is Hellcat, just because we're going in order of the box. One of the Avengers, and a pretty cool looking figure, especially on the card. I mean, they got the striking yellow, but it's kind of got a bit of a gradient in it where it gets orange at times. Blue boots where obviously the feet were sculpted in blue because the yellow there didn't quite work out so well.
Yeah.
And a nice detailed mask on her.
Besides the mask looking very much Batman and Batwoman, Batgirlish, this whole figure has, maybe it's the paint, like you said, comes off to me with a very DC universe type of feel to it.
If you didn't know any better, you'd think she was like Catwoman, right?
Yeah, or Batgirl or Catwoman in a Batgirl mask.
Yeah.
But beside the character, I'm saying just even the paint apps, like this is the same type of paint that the Mattel puts on some of those DC universe figures.
It's the very primary colors that they use. Like they use just they're very Crayola box, like the 16 box of Crayolas. And she's got the orange hair, the yellow outfit, and then I guess they're black or blue accessories with the boots and the belt. But yeah, it is very cartoony. That's the colors they use for DC. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just, yeah.
It's a good point, though. But this belt we've seen before, who did this come with?
I think, isn't this the same sash or very similar that Ms. Marvel had?
Yep. And Iron Fist as well, more recently. So Iron Fist has a pretty petite waist, apparently, if him and Hellcat can wear the same size sash. What I'm digging here is they took a standard female Bucks here, and outside of the yellow not working as paint over cast blue on her boots, the rest of it worked out pretty well. Like, the details on her mask are pretty darn good. The hair from the back is new, so that's a nice little touch there.
Yeah, but you can't turn the head. The hair is so long, you can't turn the head at all. She might as well be wearing a neck brace.
Too fussy.
She gets a little bit of motion there.
No, she doesn't. I just keep turning the torso. I can make her go look down, and then I can turn it. But only if her chin is at her neck.
I do love her hair color, though.
And these hands. Look at these hands. I think these are unique to her. I don't remember seeing any female claw hands like this before.
And that's really what she's known for to me. All the Hellcat comics I've read, she claws and has, like, psychic abilities. So why did she steal Daredevil's billy club and paint it black? I don't know that one. I've not read a comic, nor does a cursory Google image search show me her using a baton.
Yeah, it's the same accessory that we were just ripping on
with last week. Daredevil.
Yeah. Here it is again, but black. Yeah, unnecessary accessory, but what are you going to do? The black makes it seem a little stiffer, though.
I mean, honestly, she's one who could have come accessoryless, and I wouldn't have said a word. But listeners, please, I'm sure that this is from something. They know their stuff, but you can point me in the direction. But yeah, I know her just to pretty much claw and be agile. I didn't see her using a weapon. And
here's something weird. I've been looking at quite a few of the recent female figures here, and I cannot find lower arms that are this skinny on any other figure. I looked at all the Spider Women and Spider Girls, and...
because even Scarlet Witch has bigger arms than that.
Yeah. The closest I could get was Storm, and even hers are a little bit thicker than these lower arms.
Intriguing that they would do that, that just re-sculpt the arms. I don't know that it's necessary. It's not that much thinner than Spider Woman's.
No. It's just one of those things where it's like, really? We needed to go back and make sure these arms were somewhat skinnier to be more accurate? I don't know. Maybe makes her hands look bigger, I guess, and more daunting, I guess.
But no, I think she's a really good figure, despite you can't pose the head except for down. But other than that, I think it's a really good figure of an underserved Avenger. I like that they included her as one of their, looking it up, fierce fighters.
That's why they gave her the Billy Club nunchucks.
Because she's a fighter.
She's fierce.
She's a survivor, like that Destiny Child song.
Our other fierce fighter could have just been easily discussed in last week's reviews, Spider-Woman. Now, she comes with a whole bunch of web parts that I don't know quite where to put.
I know where to put them. They're a pain in the ass to get in there, though.
Are you sure that's where they're supposed to go?
They go into the back of her biceps.
There's two big ones and two small ones, right?
Right, you use one or the other.
Oh, that's an annoying feature.
It may be an annoying feature, but I will say this. Last time we had this version of Spider-Woman, I can't remember if it was Hasbro or Toy Biz. It might have been Toy Biz. The way they did this was rubbery web things that were attached at her arms, and mine broke real early on. So I guess in lieu of doing it that way again and hoping it doesn't break, this looks better. Once you get them on there, especially the wing ones, they look pretty cool. It's just a matter of getting them in there properly and keeping them to stay.
Yeah, I can't get it to fit in the hole, and I'm scared that if I do, then I'll never want to take it out again because it's kind of... there it finally goes. I just had to push it.
The way I found to do it is kind of take it from the side and roll it in. Instead of like trying to push it straight in like a slot, start to put it in at the edge and push it and roll the other edge in.
That technique works. Yes, I got it in. She is now fully articulated or fully webbed.
Now, once you have those wings in, you're pretty much putting her in one pose and one pose only, and that's with her arms up at her sides.
That's... no, you can have them... you can make them go down, and then she just looks like she's Wasp.
The weird thing is like this should be on the back of her arms, but inside they're on the inside of her arms, actually. Like
yeah.
Where your mom or grandma would pinch you if you were acting up in church.
The fish bellies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that to be a weird implementation. You're right. She should only have the big ones when her arms are out. And, of course, she's got the navel. But I'm going to give this figure some other compliments. I love the coloring that they used for her. It's not a Spider-Man bright red, which they've done with Spider-Woman sometimes. It's a much more muted, accurate red. I like the yellow they used for her stomach area and chest area. Not quite so much on the hands and feet.
Yeah, but they did give it a little bit of a wash in some of those areas with a little bit of a darker yellow or an orange to give it some heft and some detail.
She's got a number of glossy areas too, which is kind of cool, but then some of the areas are matte, so I'm not quite sure if it's just different plastic or if it was intentional.
I would say this is a nice improvement for a figure that is already existing in this costume and in the Marvel Legends line, albeit maybe 10 plus years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you can't count on people to find that figure or even count on the plastic to really hold up. Some of my older Toy Biz figures have gotten a little tacky from just when I open them brand new in the package.
Yep.
But I like the hair on her. You can actually turn the head around a little bit, unlike Hellcat. And good posability, good likeness. And given that right now, who knows how long it'll last, they've changed her outfit. Like I felt with Ms. Marvel, I'm glad that we got this Spider-Woman before, you know, down the line, they give us the Marvel Now Spider-Woman or Marvel Then or Marvel whatever.
I think they might have hired somebody new over at Hasbro to do nothing but sculpt female hands. Does these seem like yet another set of new hands?
I was wondering what was up with them. She looks like almost Doctor Strange pose, like she's casting a spell.
Yeah, it's almost like she's getting ready to do the Rock'em horns, you know, the devil horns, but yeah, not quite.
When I put her arms up with the webs, I kind of thought it was almost a rock star pose.
Yeah, because I'm looking at Scarlet Witch. They're not her hands. They're not Storm's hands. So yeah, she has new Spider-Woman fingers.
And then if you get 5 of the 6 figures, you have to pick one of the women and then all the others, you can build the Mad Titan himself, Thanos. Now, are we calling this a movie figure? I think this is a comic figure, right? It looks nothing like Josh Brolin.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks like Ron Perlman.
It could be Avengers 1 Thanos, which also looked nothing like Josh Brolin. It's like they recast him like he was War Machine.
I don't think that it looked like Josh Brolin in Guardians, though. Wasn't that Josh Brolin?
I think it looked exactly like Josh Brolin. I think it looked like, yes, like he'd walked off the set of True Grit and into some purple makeup.
Well, maybe it's a newer version of Thanos, but you're right. I don't think it's movie Thanos, because I feel like it wouldn't be big enough to be him either. Like, even though we haven't seen him standing next to anybody, the scale, the sense of scale I get with him sitting in that rock throne was that he was much bigger than this.
True. And as we've often said, the scale on some of these larger characters does shift from comic to comic. But he snaps together rather easily. I think his head's a little tiny on the dickie. It makes him look just slightly Beetlejuicy to have such a large neck hole on that shirt top.
If it stayed in one place, I think it'd be a lot better, but the dickie moves around.
There's pegs in there, but they are so hard to hit. Like, even if you do get them in there, it's not a guarantee that it's going to stay. I currently have my pegs in place, but man, it wasn't from lack of fighting with it.
You're right. It looks a little bit better, but the neck hole is still way too big when the pegs are locked down. I didn't realize my peg wasn't in all the way.
You know, for a Build-A-Figure, I expect it to be all new pieces, and it is. Everything here is 100% new and sculpted for this figure, which is pretty cool. But when it comes down to paint, it's pretty simple. I mean, we've got some silver parts, we got some gold parts, and possibly a little bit of like a yellowish gold paint for highlights. And outside of that, you get the paint on his face, which is purple, white, and black.
Yeah, the knuckles are the biggest paint job other than the face.
Yep. Well, and that weird, like, relief in his pants. Like, it's almost like it's revealing that he's a robot underneath.
I like the way his spine kind of clicks around, you know? It has a couple specific clicky points there, and...
Oh, yeah. But then now I knocked his dickie off the pegs again.
I did, too. But it's like he's seeing his chiropractor and getting an adjustment when it clicks in.
Oh, that feels good.
And the face, I love the face. I have the Marvel Select Thanos, and I see him often. But this one, I just like the broad-toothed grin on this one for some reason. It's just really, it's like he's maniacally happy. He's not even necessarily evil. This could be a Muppet if you didn't know the backstory. And I'm saying that in a nice way, you know? Like, that's how gleefully crazy he is.
Yep.
He does have a maniacal grin.
And they did get some detail in that face, man. There's little tiny lines on his chin and around his mouth, and then his teeth are white, but there's black in between. That's some pretty impressive paint on something that small. I'm having a little bit of issue with the restricted articulation in his arms, because his biceps are so big, and his wrist, I don't want to use the word gauntlet because he's Thanos and doesn't have the Infinity Gauntlet yet, but the things around his wrist.
His bracelets?
His bracelets that go way up his arm.
Wristlets? Are these wristlets?
Those are wrist cuffs, like Wonder Woman.
But yeah, it limits how much you can bend his arm up.
True. And every time you try to take his shoulder too high, the dickie goes flying.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have done it better. But, okay, one part they could have done was, I don't know, make the neck hole better. But I guess to fit it over his head, it had to be too big.
The head pops on, so you could make it really tiny.
Actually, it could have been part of the torso.
Yeah.
It could have been glued to the torso and it wouldn't have been an issue. But
then we'd complain his arms don't move up. Here they move up, they just move the dickie.
I may ultimately glue this down just to see if it stays, but
I would only do that with a spare Thanos Build-A-Figure, which I can buy right now from our sponsor, Dorkside Toys. You don't have to buy all the figures again for just $64.99. You could have a Thanos shipped to you in 24 hours.
Nice. But then you'd miss out on some of these other good ones, and they also have the full wave up there for order as well.
True, but I'm just saying if you wanted a second one to glue a dickie down. But honestly, again, I feel like we're picking some nits here when posed, when you find a pose that works well and you snap the shoulder piece into place, I'm not going to say Dickie anymore, that he's a pretty cool figure. And I like that he's got some heft to him. I wish he was Hulk big. It's weird that Hulk towers over him. But
definitely.
Again, I don't know. I could check the Marvel Wiki or Marvel.com for the height of each one. But again, it's variable depending on the comic.
Yeah, but depending on the difference in scale, it's not realistic to get an action figure. Perhaps if they weren't in the same wave and that Hulk didn't contain a part of Thanos, it wouldn't be an issue. You know what I mean?
All right. I am this geeky. I did look it up. Thanos is 6'7".
I thought he'd be bigger than that.
I did too.
Me too.
And Hulk, normal Hulk is 6'6". Savage Hulk is 7'8". Joe Fixit is 6'6". Merged Hulk is 7'6". And Scar is 8'8". So there you go.
Hmm.
So Hulk should be an inch shorter than Thanos. And he's a head above.
Yeah, strange.
But again, I mean, these are action figures. If this was a hot toy, I'd be pretty pissed. Because that's supposed to be like a human replica for this toy, for comic-based figure. I'm really happy to get a Thanos. I kind of wish one of the accessories, like, could the other woman have not come with a head and arm and instead come with death?
Yeah.
I mean, if we could have a Build-A-Figure that was pretty much 3/4 of Jubilee, you could make a tiny death.
Or, you know, one arm with an Infinity Gauntlet would be cool. They've done it in the 3¾-inch line. And it's not like it's a big secret. The whole Hasbro San Diego Comic-Con exclusive last year was about the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, that would be nice. A separate arm with the gauntlet on it. That would have been a nice touch. But for what it is, a very solid wave. And it should be hitting your local stores. But if you want it guaranteed and shipped to you by collectors, you can get the wave or the case from our sponsor, Dorkside Toys.
Yeah, I now own way more female spider figures than I ever thought I would. And I'm not disappointed in it. I'm just saying that's the type of year we're having.
All right. Well, moving on to
Sales to Astonish.
There's even more Age of Ultron goodies. Two new hot toys out there. Two. There's a Ultron Mark I that went up for pre-order last week. I like that somebody on our Facebook page said, it's nice to have a figure that's already damaged, so that way when you damage it, you won't get too mad.
So do you feel like you needed two of those or just one, not knowing yet?
I think there's just one Ultron Mark I, and then there may be a lot of... I don't army build hot toys, except for maybe I do.
When you do.
No, do not give him any ideas, people.
I have two Chitauri because they came in a two-pack. We can hope that they do the same if there's any army building to be done here. But I did not buy four Chitauri or anything.
This one is kind of catching my eye. Obviously not being all in. This is one that I kind of dig all the little mechanical details that I have to put into this. And technically, it's kind of an Iron Man. I mean, it looks like it's built out of Iron Man parts.
I'm very, very curious to find out tomorrow night exactly what the origin of this is.
Right now, it's giving me a little bit of C-3PO without his skin vibe, but I think he's probably way cooler than that.
Let's hope so, if I'm sitting in there for 27 hours.
Let's hope he doesn't come out and go, God, that was terrible. What were they thinking?
And the other one, now this one, there's a lot to talk about here. The War Machine Mark II. But you might be saying, Arnie, we already own the War Machine Mark II die-cast Hot Toys from Iron Man 3.
That's what I was saying.
Yes, yes we do. Now, just to fill people in who may not have listened to all of our Iron Man 3 coverage, the toys that came out showed a War Machine Mark II and then an Iron Patriot, because in early scripts, we saw that conversion happen. There were action scenes that involved War Machine all cut at some point along the way. But they made a lot of the War Machine Mark II toys. Kotobukiya did one, and Lego, and Hot Toys as one of their diecast. Why not? It's just a repaint of the Iron Patriots.
Exactly.
But now in Avengers Age of Ultron, and it remains to be seen exactly how much War Machine is even in Age of Ultron, but they have brought the War Machine Mark II back. He will apparently not be the Iron Patriot.
I didn't like the Iron Patriot anyway.
I love the Iron Patriot. I thought it looked sharp.
Yeah, it looks real cool.
Yeah, it does look cool, but he's trying to like get on a Captain America's game.
And Don Cheadle's one of the few, like, has some of the least time in that outfit. Like, everybody else was in that. Everybody else got a turn in that armor.
Yeah, even the president was in it the longest, I think.
Yeah.
But in, like we talked about with the figure reviews, reusing the molds, they reused a lot of the same mold in the War Machine Mark II, but they changed some details. So if you want an Avengers Age of Ultron accurate War Machine Mark II, and you already own the other Mark II, well, there's some differences. Like in Age of Ultron, he's got the number 2 printed on his inner bicep. And on the Iron Man 3 one, it appears like he has some sort of recycle symbol on his forearm. The detail of the painting is different between the two figures. So, honestly, if you already have the Iron Man 3 War Machine Mark II, you're probably close enough. Unless you're just like me, in which case you will own both.
So I was going to say, this is where the line in the sand is drawn between collecting and neurosis.
Neurosis? I think it's called something else. I'm not sure what it is.
Because if you have pretty much this exact figure that you already paid $300 for, and some slight changes are going to make you buy it again, then...
Didn't I do that time and time and time again, and it was called the House Party Protocol?
Yeah, but those are at least legit characters to some degree. This is a guy that didn't make the cut last time, but now here he is.
I feel like I've been doing this a lot with Hot Toys anyway, so I'm okay with it, especially since it's one of their die-cast ones.
Yeah, it could be a worse figure to have to rebuy. I'll say that. I'm actually considering it now that I know he's going to be in the movie.
We haven't seen the movie yet.
Well, I've heard that he's supposed to be in the movie. For all we know, he could be purple and gold when he shows up on screen.
Those last-minute changes, they do happen. But then, Justin, last week you and Jeff were discussing the SH Figure Arts coming out. Well, they have announced another Age of Ultron Figure Arts figure, and it is the War Machine Mark II, but this one's going to be a little harder to get than even those others, as it is an Asian web-only exclusive.
Jesus.
Oh, that hurts.
And it's a nice-looking figure.
It really is. I mean, obviously it's a repaint of the Iron Patriot, like we talked about with the Hot Toys one and everything. But man, I love these figures, and I would gladly pick this one up if it was available in even a somewhat logical way to get. But man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a hold of one of these.
Well, that's why I raced to eBay, where I got... And this is pretty amusing. The War Machine Kark 2.
Kark?
Kark. K-A-R-K. $69.99.
Nice. Now, I'm sorry when you actually receive a Kark in the mail. You can only blame yourself.
So I figured, forget trying to order from Asian websites when I could get a Kark on eBay. Their typo is my gain.
Exactly. K-A-R-K. Very nice. Yeah, with the amount of legends this year, it's a large year for figure arts as well. And this is another, you know, 70, 80, 90 bucks, whatever it ends up you have to put toward it to get it out of the bank account.
Given how they don't re-release these, like Jeff was saying before, and the prices do go up. That's why I wanted to get it now before the prices did go up. It's not getting a lot of press here in the States.
No, not at all.
And so finally, last weekend was also C2E2 up in Chicago. Marjorie and I went up there. Here's a brief report from that con.
Well, this is normally the part of the show where we say we're at the con, but we are actually back in the studio without Justin because I got sick and couldn't actually record at the con.
Yeah, you went down really fast. Like, it started out as sniffles, and by the afternoon on Saturday, you were full on sick.
Yeah, my entire regimen of I will not shake your hand has not apparently kept me immune from all bugs.
Whereas I hugged and shook hands, and I'm okay.
But I didn't let a little cold let me not have fun at C2E2. It was a blast. It was emptier this year than it seems like most years. There was a couple hours on Saturday afternoon where it was a crunch and trying to shop at some of the vendors got a little frustrating. But beyond just a few hours on Saturday afternoon, I had personal space the entire weekend, Friday through Sunday.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad. I blame the fact that it was unseasonably cold. I mean, it was in the low 40s and rainy the entire time we were there except for Sunday. I mean, it was the kind of cold rain you go out and you wonder why it's not freezing on the ground. It was miserable.
And I talked to somebody on Saturday. I think the reason that the crunch happened the way it did, traffic was really backed up getting there. There was an auto show at the McCormick Center at the same time as C2E2. And he said he spent about 3 hours just getting the last 20 to 30 miles into the center. And that's when the crowds hit, is when about 3 hours after they opened, when the cars actually were able to get there and the people were able to get out.
Yeah, it was a very odd kind of the way the crowd ebbed and flowed.
As far as the exhibit floor goes, is it me or did it feel like there were less vendors this year?
It did feel like there were less vendors. There were a little bit more of open spaces, I felt, around the perimeter. They had the queuing like they did last year that was on the side of the exhibit hall. The autographs were in the back and so were the photo ops, but it seemed like between autographs and photo ops, there was not much. And leading up to the autographs and photo ops were big, wide open spaces. They also really, it was beautiful. There were really wide aisles this time. It was glorious.
Yeah, again, only once did we really have a problem. A couple of the aisles were more narrow. They were inconsistent aisles.
They were a little inconsistent. There also was a big open space between the exhibit floor and the part that had the tattoo area and like a little food court. It was just like this big dead space. And on Saturday, they had a Mountain Dew truck there that was blasting music. And it was kind of annoying, but
that's true. There were several times where I was walking from point A to point B where it felt like I was out in this like desolate wasteland of nothing. There were no people around. It was like I'd gotten lost.
Yes.
As far as shopping goes, there were a good handful of toy vendors there. I wasn't really looking for anything specific, which is always the best way to go.
Well, say, are you ever looking for something specific? Because I think if you look for something specific, you're in trouble.
I was kind of keeping an eye out for the new 5-point of articulation Avengers Age of Ultron figures that have started to hit stores. No sign of those. The prices I found to be a little bit unreasonable. The Walgreens exclusive Funko Pops that I've only seen in a Walgreens once, and only one of them. I saw a Punisher one time. Well, the short-packed Spider-Mans were $35 a pop, and the more common ones were $20 a pop. The Legends we reviewed earlier this show were $30 to $35 a figure.
Ouch. And keep in mind, this is one of the earlier cons of the year, too.
And I was really shocked to see what had happened to the price of Marvel Universe figures. Luke Cage? No, not the rare white shirt version that my eBay saved search continues to hunt for. Just the standard old black shirt version. $55 for that figure mint on card. Unmasked Norman Osborn Iron Patriot, $45. So just some fairly high prices in there. I didn't get any of that one thing that I had in my hand, and I was so close to buying an unpunched Secret Wars Iron Man figure. And man, did it look so nice. It had a little yellowing on the bubble. But other than that, from a distance, I'm like, oh, that's really good. I can deal with a little yellowing.
I think it was one of those moments where like stars were in your eyes, music was playing, people parted ways when you saw it and you walked up to it. And then,
well, I felt like something was wrong from a distance because I could read the price tag was only $85. And in great condition, I was a little worried. When I got up there, It was like there'd been a giant second sticker on the card and removed. There was a big square, and it was this square-shaped, it wasn't irregular, of brown dirt, like a giant clearance sticker had gone on and then been removed, and then over the span of 20 years, accumulated dirt. And no Goo Gone was going to fix this, so
no.
I left it where it lay. It was a bit of a shame, because other than that, but I'd rather have one punched without a giant square of goo.
I agree.
That doesn't mean I went home empty-handed. My wife might have instigated me to buy one thing.
Look, it was a strategic move by me to prevent you from overpaying for something later on.
It was Friday. We got there a little late on Friday, worked a half day, and we were on the way out. We were closing the floor. We were seeing people put those black sheets over their booths and just shutting down even before the announcements were coming. I guess everybody wanted to get to drinking. C2E2, it's a drinking con.
It is.
I think the CBR bar is too alluring for some people to pass up. But we walked past one booth that had a huge number of statues. I mean, a wall of statues. Bowen, Sideshow, Kodo, just a wall of them, and a big sign. All statues 20% off, lowest marked price. Which makes me wonder why they didn't just change the price, but...
Because it lured you in.
It did.
Would it have lured you in if you just saw the price?
Possibly.
Oh.
But I was ready to walk right on past this wall of statues. You're the one who said, oh, look.
I said, look, statues are 20% off. There's a Hulkbuster.
Yes, you pointed out a Hulkbuster, which I'm like, well, Sideshow exclusive version, you say? Never removed from box, you say? Still taped. Exclusive? 20% off. Now, being the smart shopper I am, I did check eBay saved searches and completed listings, and the exclusive version of this Hulkbuster Comic Cat, it's not the Hot Toys or anything, it's just the Comic Cat, had sold for $900. Their price, $800, and then 20% off $800. Now, this just makes sense. This is just smart shopping right here. Plus, these maquettes, I've bought a few of them. You're looking at $50 to $60 in shipping right there. So,
well, considering it was up to my waist, I think you saved a lot on shipping.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of maquettes on eBay, like the Hulk maquettes, which are about the same size, and that was about $60 in shipping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you were pointing me to buy it, I wasn't going to argue.
I was merely pointing out the fact that there's a pattern with you, and what happens is you see something like this at a convention, and then you pass on it. And then you go back because it's eating at you, and you're obsessing over it all weekend, and then it's gone. And then you go to eBay and buy the first one you see that's overpriced.
I'm still looking for an exclusive Sideshow premium format She-Hulk because I passed on it at that con 2.5 years ago.
In Kansas. Yeah. No, in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, yes. So yeah, you talked me into it, and so I got a lot of comments. I mean, I've never received so much attention in my life as I did carrying this box that's over half my height through it, and all these people wanting to look at my box and see my Hulkbuster and oohing and aahing over it. I felt a little conspicuous. But that's all I bought. I only bought one thing.
Okay. I did have to go get the car and pull it up to the convention center because you couldn't carry it to the car because it was way too big to go downstairs, upstairs. And it was raining.
It's not like I couldn't carry it. I mean, it was heavy, but it wasn't that heavy. The worst part is it was awkward and I couldn't see around it.
That's true. And it's very big. It's heavy. It's awkward to carry. McCormick Center is full of stairs, which makes it not ideal to carry large items.
It's like the convention center designed by M.C. Escher.
Yes.
So, to my one thing, you bought three.
Oh, come on. My three things cost $5.
No, they were more than that.
Eight?
I think, yeah. Okay. 10 for three.
No, you talked them down.
Yeah, I think it was eight apiece. I think I got all three for 10.
No, they were five apiece, and I think you got all three for
10.
10, yeah. So, I spent $10 on three items, which were very easy to carry. So, why are you complaining?
What did you get?
I bought some carded Bendems, and the cards are in pretty decent shape. I have a big love for Bendems, Star Wars and Marvel, and these were, let's see, I got Cyclops, Magneto, and Wolverine on card, which is pretty exciting.
Not a bad deal there.
No, and what's funny is, you pointed out with Bendems, you usually can talk people down to an insanely low price because they just want to get rid of them.
Beyond that, of course, we went to Artist Alley, where we hung out and talked to some old friends now. I've been hanging out in Artist Alley long enough to have friends there. Got a sketch I'd ordered almost a year ago now from Ryan Stegman. And just through miscommunication, I thought it was for New York Comic Con. They thought it was for New York Special Edition last year. And then one thing happened, another thing happened. But when I finally got to pick it up, I asked him for a battle-damaged Wolverine. Ryan looked up at me and said, "This is probably my favorite sketch I've ever done as a commission."
It's pretty sweet.
And handed me this really awesome, pissed off Wolverine with some wounds on him and this great background. I can't even call it a sketch. This thing is amazing.
It is really cool.
So that was a year in coming, but I've found, you know, sometimes you wait for artists, they always make it worth your wait. And you got a cute sketch.
I did. Christopher Jones, who was the guy who did the Superhero Squad art and did a lot of the title cards for the cartoons, was there, and he was taking sketch requests. So I got the classic Captain America comic with Winter Soldier where they're facing each other. I got that, and he drew that in the Superhero Squad style, and it's awesome.
Very cool. I also had a Ryan Stegman quickie sketch he did at that Indiana Comic Con that I got Rob Rees to color for me here and got a nice Spider-Man 2099. He's a little more recognizable in color, I think.
I do think some sketches call for color.
But no, Artist Alley was a very fun time. Picked up a couple other pieces here and there, a few prints, a couple other sketches, a quick sketch, Arnie as Venom.
That's really cool.
I love the little cheap ones you can get sometimes. It was, I think, $10 for inked me with a Venom head over me. And finally, I did get to meet a couple of celebrities. The only autographs I wanted at C2E2 were both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which is funny because we're still trying to soldier through season two.
It's better.
You're such an apologist. It's funny.
I'm enjoying season two. Not as much as I've enjoyed shows like Lost or anything. It's about Smallville good.
It's no Daredevil.
It's no Daredevil. Daredevil's just awesome.
Yes.
But Ming-Na Wen is there, and man.
She's hot.
Who could believe she's 50?
I know. She is so gorgeous. It's like, you look at her and you're like, oh my God, really? I'm in the presence of someone who's so beautiful.
Yeah, I was able to get her to sign my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. DVD. It was strategic. We waited for her to be in a panel and there was no line. And then I only had to wait a short time. Then Haley Atwell, Agent Carter. Wow. The fan base for her was amazing. I really thought Carmen Sandiego was the costume of the con.
It's not Carmen Sandiego, it turns out. It's Agent Carter.
Yeah, I really just thought, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Is the new Where's Waldo? I really was like, there she is, there she is, there she... What is going on with all these purple coats and red hats? It's like a secret society.
Yeah, the hat is very Carmen Sandiego, and had they chosen a different hat, I think that it would not have the confusion.
But it turned out, yeah, they were just all fans of Agent Carter, and the line for Haley Atwell, huge. Now, she's going to be at St. Louis Wizard World, which we will also be at, so this wasn't on my must-do list, but again, I kind of got lucky. I went as she went to the lunch break on Sunday afternoon, and she came back from lunch about 20, 30 minutes late. No fault, that happens a lot when you're waiting for autographs, but when she got back, I was moved through that line in like 15 minutes. Talked to her about her Apple Watch. She loves it. She highly recommends an Apple Watch. It reminded me of Ferris Bueller. If you have the means, I highly recommend picking one up. She is British. She's also very pretty. I had her sign my Captain America Blu-ray because we had Sebastian Stan sign it, and, you know, she was in the movie.
She was in the movie, yes. Was she a stunning in person? She probably doesn't look near as good as Ming-Na does at 50.
She looks pretty close. She looks far better in person than they ever let her look on the movies or the show, because they've either put her in 98-year-old old person makeup, or they've dolled her up with that kind of 1940s kind of... She's much more fashionable than that when you get her with her regular hair and everything. And she was very polite, very nice, very British.
Of course.
So a great time at C2E2. Plus, we got to see lots of friends like Mark and Jill and...
Alex and Sharon and Robert.
Yeah, so many people there. Lots and lots of cosplay. We've got quite a few photos up at the website. So with that, we'll take it out of this studio, back to the other studio, and join Justin again. All right, guys. Well,
I got to get out of here. I'm going to miss my movie or movies, 11 of them in a row. Follow the Arnie C on Twitter to see how I'm holding up.
Or you can follow me on Twitter, Margie C, and I will be tweeting nothing from my home and in my own bed instead of watching movies.
It's sad. We're not going to see Avengers 2 together because you're going with your friend and I'm going for 27 hours.
Yeah. I think I made a wiser choice here. But we're going to see it together on Saturday.
Yes, we are. We will see it a second time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, let's not kid each other. You guys are going to see it again.
Already bought the IMAX tickets for Free Comic Day this Saturday.
Very nice.
It's become our tradition as we drive to St. Louis, get some free comics, buy some toys, go see whatever the new Marvel movie is.
We used to have shawarma, but the comic book store moved, so no more shawarma.
Maybe we'll be eating something different in this year's post-credits.
That's true.
So let's see if Arnie survives and we have a show next time.
I would like a picture of, like, after each movie of what he looks like.
I plan on it.
Okay.
He's gonna have a beard.
Be all gray and have like a big Rip Van Winkle beard.
I'll come out, it's gonna be like Planet of the Apes. You blew it up.
What's it gonna be like to see the sun after that long?
Well, we'll find out on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. You can see more videos and reviews by subscribing to the Marvelicious Toys YouTube channel. You can find the link from our homepage. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@marvelicioustoys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast Video Enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious Website Design by Jason. Graphic Design by Justin. Photo Editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2015. All rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Hello, hello.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. How do I sound?
You sound excellent.
Did you miss me?
I did a little bit.
This is my Batman voice.
Everybody has the Batman voice now. You like the Batman voice? How do you like them apples?
What are you wearing?
You know, just a cowl and a cape.
Well, he sounds hideous.
Well, I should hope so. He's a Batman.
Hello and welcome to Marvelicious episode. It's an issue.
It's gonna be.
There's order, yeah. I am in Oklahoma City, Missouri. That's what they call it there.
Wait, you're in Oklahoma, Missouri?
Yeah, I don't even know where you are.
You're in Kansas City, Missouri.
Actually, he's in Kansas City, Kansas when he's going.
Well,
we also have the complete set of Lego...
Lego waffles, yum.
We also have the complete set of Eggo waffles.
I've got my Odin package right here. Oh, yeah, I do.
That's what we call it now, is Odin package.
Well, he does have one eye.
I think that my punk band's name will be Thanos' Right Leg. Justin, you can play bass.
Nah, I don't want to play bass.
All right, all right. I'll let you sing and I'll play guitar.
Awesome.
He's pointing his finger. He's pointing his finger. He's pointing his finger at you. Does anyone remember that skit?
You know I do.
Is that a Saturday Night Live thing?
Yeah, yeah, Jimmy Fallon and Mick Jagger. Jimmy Fallon was Mick Jagger's reflection. It's hilarious. Oh, yeah.
That was great. All right.
True, but I'm just saying if you wanted a second one to glue a dickie down.
They charge extra for that, I believe. Well, glue my dickie down.
It's a southern expression.